The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Forever Dog.
Did you see that Curtis Sliwa screenshot I sent you?
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful Curtis of the Sliwa. It's like those videos of dogs frolicking in the snow, only it's Curtis Sliwa.
Yeah, he loves the snow. He loves a good old snowy New York day.
Yeah, to like wash all the filth off of the street.
Off his beret.
Do you think his beret does what rock salt does, where as soon as the snow hits it, it melts?
I don't think the problem is a white thing. I don't think a white thing melts when it hits that beret.
Okay.
Okay, that beret, understood. That beret is perfectly fine with white things.
Should we pitch a game show that now that Earwolf is basically like a garage sale where it's like, take all the snowball mics you can fit in a tote bag? Should we pitch shows that nobody wants? Like, here's a quiz show called Would This Piss Off Bernie Getz?
And he's just sitting there and you're not sure how he's feeling?
Oh, I just thought it would be like Marmaduke and you'd like buzz in and be like, no.
But how do you know whether it pisses him off?
Oh, yeah, we would have to. Well, I think he's under contract at Earwolf anyway. Woo, as he says at the end.
Sure. You hear the gunshots and the wolf's dead.
Well, I'm so glad that we're starting this. First of all, hi, it's Double Threat. This is Julie. And my friend over here goes by the name of Tom. And
Tom,
we are thrilled to start the show with an obscure reference to two New Yorkers who are dirtbags no one's ever heard of because, Brett, were we in Vulture recently?
As a matter of fact, we were. Vulture select us as one of the top 10 comedy podcasts of 2020.
And they made a point of saying that we talk about shit nobody knows anything about, right?
Sure. Yes. They zeroed in on our Oya Kodar references. They kind of had us dead to rights on that one.
Is Oya Kodar in Mank? And if so, and if not, why not?
I don't know. I did not watch Mank yet.
Me neither. Did you, Brett?
I did. I don't remember an Oya Kodar appearance. Wells himself is pretty background in the whole thing. It's almost like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead version of the story. Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I only know of that. I'm not smart.
I never read it. I know it's a play, and I know it's like Shakespeare related. Is that fair? Is it like actors backstage at a Shakespeare?
It's a retelling of Hamlet, in which Hamlet is like a background character. Hamlet only appears like kind of like, you know, in very small appearances.
The bard. Yes.
The bard.
The master. I tend to focus on the masters with the things I like. Mm. I like the bard.
Mm-hmm.
I like Chaplin.
Yes. You like Chapstick?
I like Chapstick. When I'm just feeling a little down and I need a laugh, I usually put on a
the kid,
the kid, or yeah, or the Gold Rush, or one of his other masterworks.
Mm.
And then usually, I think about is just like everybody from the Grip to the person making sandwiches, they're all dead. They all. There is literally not one human involved in this project still drawing air. And that's what I think about.
Well, maybe it
gives me perspective.
But didn't he marry like a 12-year-old? She could still be alive somewhere.
Yeah, but she's not in. Is that what the kid's about?
It was the Dane Cook of his time. But yeah, instead of the Shocker, he made the Clock. Or no, that was Buster Keaton. Remember when he hung off of the clock?
I think it was
Or
Harold
was that someone
Lloyd.
Else? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. My old comedy is not is a little rusty.
Harold Lloyd hung off the clock.
Mm-hmm. Hickory Dickory Dock. Hickory Harold Lloyd Dickory hung Dock. Off the clock.
So I'm walking down the Paramount lot, and I see this guy hanging off a clock, and he's like,
help me, help me.
I don't know what I'm going to do when the minute hand gets to the four. I'm going to slip.
Brett, do you want to talk about more things? Because I'll say right now in my Instagram comments, people are starting to ask me, did Brett put you up to this? And I'm beginning to answer yes, because I need to be honest with people. And I'll tell you right now, also, we have a list coming up where there's going to be objects on it. And I was thinking, I'll bet Brett made his own list. And it's all merch. Tom, did you think of that?
I saw a different side of Brett on last week's episode. When we realized he had that email ready to go to the guy from T Public.
Yeah.
To just say, like, don't mind the animals at the zoo.
Yeah. Yeah. They're idiots. They like you.
I saw a different side and I didn't like it. I didn't. He was just like, yeah, don't mind them.
He apologized for us before we were even done. He wasn't. Brett, do you feel like you were able to fully listen to the conversation when you were tippy typing away in your, postscript apology note?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's multitasking is part of the job. I mean, it's, it's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always the inner workings of the machine. You know, there's the outside that everybody sees, but there's always, you know, there always needs to be a behind the scenes.
Oh,
level
yeah.
To everything.
The game within the game.
I will say in terms of merch and hawking it. And by the way, I got some Double Threat merch, and it's terrific. It's very high quality. That Jerry from TeePublic tell a story and make a T-shirt. I'll tell you that. Yes. What, Tom?
I was just going to say. Brett's doing this whole thing. Oh, Jerry, don't be mad at me. Jerry, they're just joking around. Jerry, they're just kidding around. That was a thrill of Jerry's life being on the thing, telling that story.
Yeah. Jerry's probably sent Brett a thank you every day this week. Yeah.
How many times do you think Jerry is now? Hey, you guys hear the new Double Threat? I'm on it. Yeah, I tell my Iggy Pop story. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, they had me on. And I mean, while Brett's like, oh, don't worry, Jerry, please don't take it. It's like he's talking to Jerry Langford, I thought.
Yeah.
It's like, Jerry, please. Yeah.
I will say to confirm that story, I did get unsolicited. I got submissions from TeePublic. TeePublic has like an in-house designer, and they sent me they sent me designs for I Hate Jerry t-shirts.
Really? Can we look at them? I want to see them right now, because I was gonna admonish our listeners for not coming up with any portraits of Jerry. Did we publish what he looks like, or is Forever Dog not allowed to legally do that or something?
I think it's okay. By the time this episode comes out, I will have posted.
We'll all be dead
on Twitter. Yeah, and we'll also all be dead. But I will have put that on Twitter, so you can check that out. Yeah, let me pull these up for you real quick.
Okay, so we've got some designs from TeePublic's in-house design staff, but I don't see any portraits of Jerry on these designs.
Yeah, I know. I think these don't hold a candle to what our listeners do. So I'm going to put this out to our listeners.
Ooh, shots fired at the graphic design department over at TeePublic. I think we're going to have to write an email now, Julie. Don't worry. Brett was just joking around.
Yeah.
When he took a shot at you guys, said you don't hold a candle to the
listeners. He only does that when he likes people. Because that was the other thing. He really did make it seem like we were animals.
Yeah, it made it seem like we're dogs. It's like two dogs.
Oh, the dog only ate your shoes because he likes the way you smell.
Look, Julie, we know the score now. We know how Forever Dog sees us. They see us as forever dogs. We're forever dogs. Because we will forever be seen as dogs by them.
Forever dogs. Forever dogs. Forever dogs.
Get Rod the Mod in there to do a new Forever Dog jingle.
You know, speaking of merch, you know that piece of shit Steven Crowder, like the right-wing idiot who has, you know... Do you know what I'm talking about, Brett? This guy is like a radio show. His whole thing is it's mug time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he will have his followers like lift up their mugs because it's like... Anyway, I just think that's like a brilliant merch thing. Like, why don't we have like, it's sticker time? You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes. You do like some kind of roll call thing that people represent with their double threat merch.
Right, exactly. Like, I don't know if he came up with mug time before he started selling mugs, but either way, I mean, he's got a lot of hate in his heart and the information he's spreading is actively killing people and hurting people, but he is, but Brett's meanwhile taking notes because he's like, that's a way to unload merch.
Yeah. I get most of my marketing strategies from the far right. I mean, you know, their politics are garbage, but they can promote the hell out of
their politics are garbage and they can promote the hell out of whatever
they put asses in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing they put asses in the seats
and they put acid in high C
in the high C. Don't drink from that punch bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That's the electric Kool-Aid.
It's the electric Kool-Aid.
Alt-right, alt-right, alt-right. Right.
That's if like McConaughey voices Pepe in the DreamWorks.
That'd be so cool. He pops up at the last second, like coming to theaters this December. And then bark in the corner. All right. All right. All right.
He's like, feels good, man.
Yeah.
Do you have hate in your heart? No, it'd be a lot cooler if you did.
We got to get McConaughey to voice Pepe the Frog.
Brett, did you write that down?
Yeah, I've got a hashtag McConaughey for Pepe. I'm trying to get that to trend.
It's hard to spell McConaughey. It is so hard. Do you want to do a contest who can spell it?
Yeah, let's see if we can do it.
Okay.
So I'm pulling up the actual spelling so I can verify.
So you're not part of the contest?
Well, I haven't looked yet. I could be, but somebody's got to verify. I mean, yeah, I'll verify.
Hold on. This is definitely not it, but it's okay. Yeah.
Neither one is correct. Do you want to reach?
Give us one more chance. Okay, give us one more chance. No. Now I just wrote McConaughey. Hold on. Let me try one more time. Get rid of that. Okay. Ready?
Oh, Julie is one letter off.
Oh, what could it be? Is it a U?
I'm not going to tell you.
Don't show those screenshots to the listeners. It's none of their business.
I mean, I did screenshot those. I was planning on posting those. I thought it was it'd be a good post. But
Tom, Brett seems mad.
No, he's mad. We called because we flagged him on this whole Jerry T. Public thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Who knows what email he's got on his screen now?
Yeah. Well, you know what else is flagged is his emails as important.
Yeah. Jerry, they're really going after me, Jerry.
Jerry,
they're really giving me the.
Jerry, they're giving me the business this week, Jerry.
They're going after me too hard, Jerry. It's not fair.
Jerry, you think they still like me, Jerry?
I hate everyone on the network. I hate everyone on the network, Jerry. I hate all the podcasters. Sometimes I wish they'd all die. Jerry.
Jerry, are you there?
Jerry, sometimes I wish you and I would just run away. You with your t-shirts, me with my microphones. And and get away from this sick world. I hate these podcasters so much, Jerry.
We find out Jerry gave him a fake email. It's like Jerry at
Jerry at Jerry dot Jerry. Oh no, it's gonna bounce back, Brett. That's why my thing works. It's sending you it's like CCing you back. That's not a bounce back from an invalid email address. That's a receipt. That means I got it.
And then there's a photo. There's like a couple emails a week where it's just Brett modeling different t-shirts. Where he's like, and they're just plain t-shirts like this. And the subject header is this one's maroon. And then each file is labeled small, medium, or large.
Jerry, you'll never believe what they did to me on Double Threat this week. I hate them so much. I hate Double Threat. I hate Trex in the City.
I can't tell who I hate more, Tom or Julie.
Yeah, I hate all of them. I hate everyone on the network. I just wish we were doing that Head of the Class podcast episode by episode. What shows do you think people are actively pitching around? Like, I was on that show and I could do a How many of those? Let's think of who's doing that right now.
Belvedere, right? Is my first thought. Didn't you see what's his name in like a? Remember, Tom, you had that Bryce story Beckham. About seeing Wesley. Yeah. You saw Wesley. And you wanted to say that to him, but you didn't.
Because he's getting ready for the pitch of his life. Like, I could see he was in like the HBO lobby, and you know, he's just like, finally in the room, finally going to get in there. Mm-hmm. Just put your best foot forward, Bryce. And suddenly some jerk comes up to him, Wesley, and just completely distracts him.
So I would say that there might be a podcast in that's going around.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
The Belvedere podcast. I think Frasier is going to be a huge one.
Oh, that'll be a cash cow, you mean, as far as like.
Yeah. Like what's his face is probably pitching one.
DHP, David Hyde Pierce.
Yes.
But then you have to deal with the fact that Kelsey Grammer is probably going to want to, you know, talk about politics every week.
Yeah. It is so funny that he's one of those people that has like that slightly British feel, but he's just trash. He's just like American trash. And I don't even say that in a bad way. He just is like, he's just an American guy who just acts erudite.
Yeah, he probably eats like more fast food burgers than like an average raccoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who eats more Burger King? Kelsey Grammer at the drive-thru or a raccoon at the dumpster?
Speaking of raccoons, that made me think of hot dogs. And I watched Marnie, the Alfred Hitchcock movie.
The Master, of course. Oh, I know. I'm a fan of all the Masters.
There's a scene where Sean Connery takes Tippi Hedren to like a coffee shop just to be like, what's your problem? You keep pretending that you're other women and you're clearly hiding something and you're stealing money. And he like wants to confront her. And so they're going into this booth and the waitress comes by and Tippi Hedren says, just coffee and a frank.
Oh my God. That's the most guaranteed barf inducer imaginable.
And then Sean Connery's like, I'll have the same. And then the waitress leaves like, the waitress leaves like, that was a normal order. Everything's fine. Like, of course that lady wants a fucking hot dog.
Just the idea of imagining alternating bites of a hot dog and a hot cup of coffee.
It seems so normal to everyone in that movie.
Look, maybe during like World War II rationing times where you're just like, yeah, that's what you get. That's the bare minimum to keep your energy up. A cup of mud and a hot dog and a frank.
Foot long, the frank.
Yeah.
Just a cup of coffee and a frank, please. And she sounded so glamorous doing it. If I went into a diner, I was like, I want a hot dog and some coffee, please. I'd sound like a slobbo. I'd sound like El Slobbo.
Excuse me, ma'am. Please.
Just so you know, you can't use our bathrooms.
Yeah. Our bathrooms are closed.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, 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 another New Year's is upon us, and you know what that means. New Year's resolutions. For some reason, just because it's January, we all suddenly get obsessed with how to change ourselves instead of just expanding on what we're already doing right. Therapy, on the other hand, helps you find your strengths so that you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes in your life that really stick. And if you're thinking of starting therapy or changing therapists, consider BetterHelp. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So celebrate the progress you've already made in your life this new year. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tom and Julie today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tom and Julie.
I got something fun from last week, a listener submission, if you guys are interested.
Yes, please.
You, Tom, you suggested that someone should take audiobook that we read, that we listened to, Chauffeur's Hole, and put it over the Velvet Underground song, The Gift.
I'm sorry, wasn't it the Chauffeur's Hole, or was there like drop the it's cleaner moment?
That was the, yeah, that was their social, that was their social network moment. I'm writing a book called The Chauffeur's Hole. Lose the, and you got something. So yes, I said last week, based on the British read that this author was doing for The Chauffeur's Hole, that I would like to hear it over the instrumental track of the Velvet Underground song, The Gift, which would replicate John Cale's storytelling over the same music. And some intrepid listener went and put this together.
Yes, this is from listener Don. Don submitted this, and here we go. Let's listen to it.
As the two men shook hands, the detective took note of the dampness of Lord Duffield's palm, the slight tremor in his hand, and the definite bulge in the older man's tweed trousers. When Pinker had departed, Duffield fortified himself with another large tumbler of scotch.
Yeah.
Then he exited the sitting room,
walked
back up the hallway, turned left, and went down the steep staircase that led to the servants' quarters.
This rocks.
Duffield walked down the narrow, darkened corridor to the last door on the
right.
All right,
Brad, you can...
He looked back at the deserted...
That was great. That was super cool.
Yeah. Thank you, Don. You done did it.
You done it again.
See, this is the other thing I want to say. Everybody, this is a double threat. Oh, there's they complain and they moan about this stinks and that sucks. And it's like, yeah, sure, of course we do that. But we do more than that. We love things here too.
Right.
It's a thin line between love and hate.
And in that spirit, we decided to put our own version of a best of 2020 list together and look back and say these are things and experiences from the last year that we consider to be the best.
Yes. And look, it's been some pretty thin soup this year. We know that. We were here for it also. It's been a hard time. We know everything's been troubling.
Topsy-turvy.
Yeah. Higgledy-piggledy.
Turning
turtle. What's that?
Well, it was in the new Mary Poppins movie.
This is not the reference.
Do you mind playing Turning Turtle? It's not a reference to what?
To the Master of Disguise, to Dana Carvey as the turtle.
Oh no, Pistachio Disguisey.
Yes. Do you know the turtle character?
I do.
Do you know when they shot that?
When 9/11?
On 9/11.
Are you serious?
He was dressed in that turtle
no
costume.
No way. Are you serious? Brett, is that true?
Brett, you search it.
Well, search it while you're playing Turning Turtle from Mary Poppins Returns. On a Thursday, all right, I regret asking you to play this.
Yeah, I sat that one out. But you bring
The scene at the Turtle Club happened to be filming on September 11th. Oh my God!
Brett, for the love. Read it, please.
But leave the music on.
The scene at the Turtle Club happened to be filming on September 11th, 2001. When word of the terrorist attacks reached the set, the cast and crew observed a moment of silence.
Imagine him in that turtle costume, crowded around the television. Imagine him just being like, how am I supposed to be funny now in this thing? When the world, I don't know what's going to happen next.
The director
turtle.
Is like, if you take that makeup off, the terrorist win, because he just wants to make his day.
Yeah. The director. Who did that? David Fincher?
Darren Aronofsky.
They do 80, like David Fincher will ask for like 80 takes of a particular scene. With Master of Disguise, they ask for 80 takes for the entire movie.
I thought you were going to say 80 takeout menus.
Yeah. These David Fincher movies are not for me. I've come to realize.
But you told me you love Zodiac.
I love Zodiac. He did one great movie. Zodiac. He should have had Barry Sobel in it. It would have been a little better.
Seven and we'll watch them.
I don't like
fall.
Seven. I think Seven blows.
It's good. I think Seven blows. But it's good. You think it's boring?
I just think it's one of those. Isn't this messed up, man?
It is messed up, man.
No, I know it's messed up, man. But
it's
I'm just saying. But I'm saying it tells you that it's messed up, man.
Girls go crazy for a messed up man. So, Brett.
Yes.
Will you introduce what we're going to do? Because we keep trying to, and then we get distracted by flashy things in our brain.
Yeah, we're like little birds in our little bird cages.
Tweet, 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 tweet. I found this Milky Way bar, and I'm stupid. I think it's a diamond ring, so I'm going to bring it to my nest.
Everywhere you go online these days, there's lists. There's lists everywhere. Everybody's got a list of this, a list of that. Top 10 movies, films, books, podcasts, and they're all kind of the same. Tom and Julie wanted to do a list that was a very personal list of their favorite 10 things from 2020. That could be things, experiences, moments in time. But a list that is uniquely Double Threat, uniquely theirs, and could not be replicated by anybody else. So this is the most unique best of list of 2020, Tom and Julie's favorite things of the year.
Great. And Brett, did you come up with any?
No, I didn't, but I can do that while you guys are thinking.
What I really want to know, what's in the bag? Look at that weird Amazon bag behind Brett.
What's in the bag, Brett?
You know what it looks like? It looks like the kind of thing that you'd walk in with a handgun in.
I thought you were going to say like the end of Seven.
No, look, the kind of thing.
But that, like Jeff Bezos sponsors a remake and the Amazon Prime guy shows up.
What is it?
Ooh, rainbows.
I think it's a tie-dyed onesie.
Oh, why isn't it from Tee Public?
You know, I don't think they offer them. I don't think they offer onesies, but that's a good idea.
I'm literally going on tpublic.com right now.
Come on, Jerry. What are you doing? You don't have tie-dye onesies?
Guys.
Hey, Jerry, don't take it personally. They were joking about the tie-dyed onesie. If you want to sell them, that's very nice.
That's cute.
What are you playing, Wavy Gravy in a biopic?
Check. Well, we don't know where Brett's going on vacation.
No, he's going on. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to star in a Wavy Gravy movie. He's going to play Wavy Gravy. Forever Dog Pictures presents from the guys that brought you
a bunch of podcasts.
Brett is Wavy Gravy.
Now, Brett, look at the chat.
Oh, these are baby onesies. We actually do sell these. You can get a Double Threat baby onesies with some of our designs.
So you're talking about a unitard. You got a unitard in the mail.
Is that a unitard? Okay, yeah. It's like a full, like a Long John's is what I guess
okay.
I would have called it.
Okay, why do you have that, Brett?
My wife Amy ordered it for herself. Going to a slightly cold weather location for a couple of days.
See, this is what we don't
safe
know.
Safe traveling, though. And
this is what we don't know.
So she got it for the...
Everything's all on Amy.
You know what I think Brett's going to do? I think him and some of his podcasting cohorts are going to hijack one of these vaccine trucks. What if to get an early dose of coronavirus vaccine, you had to, no joke, and this goes for Brett as well, you had to go look at your cat right in the face and just for 5 minutes just be like, you're the dumbest cat I ever saw in my life.
Oh, I'd be happily do that.
But like seriously be like, I can't stand you. For like 5 minutes.
Can I use do I have to use that tone of voice or can I use a...
No, you can't sweeten it up.
Okay.
And this is the cat fixer talking right now. Where's the cat fixer? Where's cat fixer merchandise?
Where's the cat fister merch where we have Tom saying, I'm going to throw you in the woods.
Yeah. I'm going to throw you in the woods. Oh, you're clawing the couch? Great. Guess you know where there's no couch? The woods.
So let's do our lists.
Nobody likes cat fixer.
We
got a lot of positive comments about cat fixer. Send those cat fixer merch designs to doublethreadpod@gmail.com. We also had people wanting some Broadway Stinkers merch, so maybe that'll show up.
Oh, there's a lot of demand for Broadway Stinkers, like playbills or...
Hey, Jerry, I know they're really looking for this Broadway Stinkers merchandise. I wonder if you could... I know we're going on this getaway together. Do you think it's Brett and Jerry?
Yeah.
On this getaway?
Yeah, there's probably two onesies in that Amazon bag.
Yeah.
And one is Jerry size.
And then for Brett's better half, it'll be a nunsie.
I was going to say, I don't know if Amy's making this trip.
No.
I think this is a Brett and Jerry. I think this is a B&G.
No, cat fixer is the kind of thing I feel like Forever Dog needs their to expand the empire.
To put and their brand on fixer. An atrocity. Oh, yeah, or that.
Yeah. Cat fixer would be a good thing. Like Forever Dog Entertainment. Like if they have that multimedia umbrella. Mm-hmm. We're just like, that's when we know we're in trouble, Julie. When Brett's when we read something and Brett says, well, podcasting's part of what we do here. Like we look at ourselves as like kind of a multi-tiered entertainment distributor.
Yeah. And we're doomed. We got to hit the ejector seat.
Yeah. But it's not going to happen because Forever Dog they got that thing figured out. I see these other networks. Earwolf, I'm planning on going over there. I wait for that yard sale six months from now.
All these old jackets leather jackets Conan threw out because they started to become distressed.
Yeah.
And he likes them. He likes them crisp and shiny.
Yes.
What if we start a project to recycle Conan's old leather jackets into footballs and throw them at him?
All right. So it's the 2020 list. All right. So what do we got? What do you have, Julie?
10.
Figuring out not to microwave the paper cup that the coffee comes in because then it gets burned and you smell burning paper and you put it in a mug and then you microwave it. So that's my 10 top experience from this year.
That was number 10 for you.
Yeah. Is that bad?
No, that's a pretty good one. For me, I would have the little cans of espresso, Starbucks cans of espresso.
Okay.
I've come to become quite a fan of those.
Okay.
Because coffee shops and that experience is off the table.
Yep.
9.
Towels.
Okay, towels.
Yeah.
Just towels.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like big ones, small ones. I wrap up my body when I am wet. What's your number nine thing, Tom?
Febreze.
I have to say, we're on the same page with this because I had to like limit a lot of cleaning products. I was like, I'm going to include too many cleaning products on this list. Mm-hmm. This year has turned us all into like Stepford wives who are like, I love Murphy's oil soap. So I'm going to say Murphy's oil soap.
That's number eight for you.
Eight.
I was going to say that the one vacuum cleaner that's the favorite of my five. But
because Julie, here's the thing about Julie that you guys might not know. She loves vacuuming. She loves vacuums.
I don't love.
She has 14 vacuum cleaners.
I have five and I want a Roomba, but I don't think it's in the cards this year.
I'm going to say you got to see what that Hanukkah moose brings you.
The mitzvah moose.
So you put Murphy's oil
soap slash my favorite of the vacuum cleaners, which is, well, I don't need to say which one it is because we're not getting paid. So none of your business unless you really want to know and I'll tell you.
I'll say for me, number eight was the moment I bought the Zoom recorder in February.
Oh, that's a good one.
Not the Zoom recorder. The act of getting one when no one wanted them a month before everyone on Earth wanted one.
Yep.
And I went to the store and I was like, do you have this H6 Zoom recorder? And they're like, yeah, I think so. And they're just like, they dusted a one off and they're just like, a month later, there's going to be a run like nobody ever saw on those things. So that's number eight for me.
What are we up to now?
Seven.
Watching Parasite win.
That was a big one.
Oh, boy. That really felt good. I thought to myself, oh, yeah. So take that, 1914.
Yeah. Man, I was so glad when that thing didn't win nothing.
Did you see that movie?
That sucked. I walked out of it. I saw in the theater. I walked out.
I miss walking out of movies.
It was like watching somebody play a video game. Oof. Number seven for me, George Lucas talk show.
Oh, that's so great.
It's there every Sunday and it's so entertaining.
I love it.
Doing such a great job with it. If you haven't seen it, it's Connor Radliff, Griffin Newman, Patrick Cornfield, Patrick Cornfield and company over on Twitch every Sunday night.
Now I feel like my list should be more sincere.
No, this is a good list.
Six.
Not having to read Deadline and be jealous about people I know constantly who are succeeding and going into production because the whole world was on hold for a minute.
That's a good one.
Okay. And just to put this on the record, I'm not happy about Corona. I'm not pro-coronavirus. But in a way, it was nice to have a little time out.
Sure.
And to not be jealous of everyone doing everything while I felt like I was doing nothing. It made me feel like, oh.
No, that was a good experience. It was a good reset for you.
But I'm not in favor of coronavirus.
No, of course not. I didn't think you were.
And I certainly didn't create it.
Number six for me is seeing the Impractical Jokers movie in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing the last times if I might ever see a movie in a public place.
Yeah.
Five.
Food.
Okay. You got food. just in general, just food.
I mean, there are so many different things that I was saying that were basically food.
Sure.
That I decided to just put it under an umbrella.
Under one big umbrella. Food. Yeah. No, that makes that like
an umbrella made of jelly.
For number five, I have going back into a bookstore. The first time I went back into a bookstore, even with a mask on and avoiding people and all that stuff, I still was very moved.
Four.
I'm going to say seeing Borat 2 for the first time.
That's a good one.
And seeing how good it was and how good it is and being so excited for Jason Wallner, but also just enjoying watching a funny movie and saying, yeah, oh my God, I'm having so much fun watching this funny movie.
I agree. And there was something exciting about that. We knew about this thing for a year and a half and couldn't tell anybody.
Yeah, we had to sign something that said, if you tell anybody, you owe us $500,000.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, make it two. I don't give a shit. I don't got no friends.
I put as number four, mm-hmm, the Alan Partridge podcast.
Oh, ironically. Okay.
It's so funny. Those are bookends with Borat. Mm-hmm. The Alan Partridge podcast is so funny. And the character only gets funnier somehow.
Three. I saw frogs. I went to Connecticut to my friend Nate and John's house, and they had some frogs riveting in their stream. And some of them were tadpoles, and it was cute.
That's nice. I have that Saturday after the election when the business came down, and then you're out on the street and everybody's honking their horns and dancing in the streets and jumping on cars and having fun. It was just such a relief.
Two. Imagine.
The song Imagine.
The video.
Was done by the celebrities.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was watching it like Bill Hader eating popcorn in that GIF. Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah.
Uh huh. No, I don't think that's real. As far as it being pleasurable, I'm just trying, mm-hmm, to think of other moments.
Well, for me, for number two, I have one and two are kind of, could either one could be one or two.
Okay.
I'll do number two, finishing the book I was, yes, working on.
Yes.
Was big. Actually getting that done is so hard.
Absolutely.
But it got done. And it comes out in 2021.
Finishing the book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the master, Sondheim. Right?
Another one of the masters.
I love the masters. I love Hitch, Chaplin, Sondheim.
Marilyn Manson.
Guy from Power Man 5000.
Who's that?
They were kind of a new metal band. You'd know them if you heard them.
And you, what is one of their songs?
Brett, can you play a Power Man 5000 hit for Julie?
Okay.
There you go. Bombshell. And that was Bombshell by Power Man 5000.
I'll say watching John Daly's Mr. Snowman for the first time.
That's a good one.
I can't even tell you how much pleasure that song brings me.
So that's number one for you?
What?
That's number one?
Number two. I messed up my list. I started riffing.
Sure. So,
because one was Clay, and I'm like, I can't have Clay be on this list.
Clay Aiken?
Mm-hmm.
One of the masters?
The murder weapon in the movie is kind of like the one in Old Country. It's my favorite song, and my favorite video, my favorite everything.
Mr. Police, I gave you all the clues. You could have stayed on. I'm the snowman. Mr. Police.
This is so good, too.
Unbelievable.
I like how he says Mr. Fassbender. Like, there's so many things in that lyrically that are... Fassbender sees it and say, oh, no.
Isn't it amazing how funny John Daly is?
Yes.
And it almost feels like we shouldn't know him. He's so funny.
Does anyone really know him? No, we know him. He's
no,
the
we
best.
Know him. He's the best.
He's great. He's so explosively funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's got an album coming out next year. Full length. All the hits.
One.
Doing Double Threat with you.
Well, Julie, you're not going to believe this. Literally, number one, Double Threat.
Really?
Yes.
Aw, I'm so glad that you and I do it. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. I like it so much.
It's the best.
It is a good time.
It is so much fun. I've never started an episode. I've never felt worse coming out of one. I always feel just like 10 feet tall.
Until today.
Until today. Honestly, I never felt any negative feelings about the show until Brett wrote that email to Jerry.
You know.
It's fair.
Till he
can
had
you
that
just read us
up.
And don't make anything up, Brett. Just please open your email, mm-hmm. type the word Jerry into it, and just read us the first thing that comes up, please.
Yeah, we'll do. I also made a list, too, while you guys are doing that.
We should have Brett write an email to Jerry that he actually has to send to Jerry that we secretly wrote.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Should we make him write an email right now?
Right now. Brett, yeah.
Can you open your...
I thought I got past it. I was waiting for that before. I was like,
share screen, Brett.
Okay. All right.
And I think Brett's list is just going to be merch. He's going to say the Fruit Please mug.
Yeah.
He's going to say the Zeppo Sucks sweatshirt. He's going to say the Three Amigos. Yeah.
This is going to be anticlimactic. I don't think there's anything good on here. Let's see.
Promo code?
I think I asked
him. Well, just tell me how you sign it. Is it love? Is it?
We got to write one to Jerry that on Monday Jerry can find out that this was what the email actually was. Like, he should just be perplexed.
Oh, it pops up. He just writes G and it pops up.
Yeah.
Okay, subject.
Hey, Jer.
I am not being forced to write this. Hey, Jerry?
Subject is not, I'm not being forced to write this?
No, don't say that.
Okay.
How about subject header? You like Hey, Jerry?
I like Hey, Jer.
That's good. I like it too. I'm just putting this out there. Devil's advocate. What if the subject header is boo with an exclamation point?
Okay. Yeah.
And then the first line is, don't be scared, Jerry. It's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all fun and games when it was heckers. Now this is
Don't be scared, Jerry. It's just me.
This is real life now. All right.
Second line. Happy / merry, etc. Blah blah blah.
Period. Do you know that M&M's commercial where the M&M's pass out and they're like, he does exist. And then Santa's like, they do exist. Well, I can't stop eating those goddamn M&M's.
All right, I'm going to need that one more time.
And I blame this commercial.
Do you know that?
No, maybe we shouldn't have him say that, Tom.
How about that? Just lost my effing shirt. On an Orlando Magic preseason game.
I thought that might be confusing because Jerry makes shirts.
Yeah. We're good. Then no, just lost my effing shirt in parentheses. No pun intended.
Okay. So is he asking him for money?
Down 18 grand. And the effing season hasn't started yet.
Oh, And then what if we just end it with, how's your weekend going?
Yeah. So how's your weekend going, bitch?
And put your in all caps.
Bitch. You got to write bitch now. Come on. he puts an asterisk where the I is.
Wow.
What are you, the New York Times?
That almost looks, yeah. that looks worse.
An expletive that can't be printed here.
Should that be it?
I mean, I feel like he should sign off somehow.
Yeah, but, like, but like, I mean, this should be the meat of the...
Completely. Yeah. So signing off, comma, BB gun.
You want to read it back, Brett?
Yeah, sure. Okay. This is to Jerry. The subject heading is boo. Don't be scared, Jerry. It's just me. Happy, merry, etc. Blah, blah, blah. Just look... Just lost my effing shirt, no pun intended, on an Orlando Magic preseason game. Down 18 grand, and the effing season hasn't even started yet. So how's your week? So how's your weekend going, bitch? Signing off. BB gun.
Send.
Damn it.
Send.
I feel like I want to. Can I get something in return for this one? Is there some
Want? How many more posts could I put on Instagram about Forever Dog?
Five.
Tom.
All right. Yeah. Well, this is what I'll promise you, Brett. You write three tweets that are just straight up Forever Dog promotional tweets. I will send them out.
I'm not agreeing to this.
I'll do this. Okay. This is how important this email is to me.
Okay.
Does that work for you, Brett?
How about two and I get to take off bitch?
Sure. Okay. All right. You really, really hung up.
Yeah, he didn't like. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, great. That's fine. Yeah.
Can we just say going instead of going? So going with an apostrophe.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Okay.
All right. So two Forever Dog tweets and okay. All right. All right.
We'll make good on it. We'll do it right now. There it goes.
Yeah. I love it.
There it is.
You want to read your list and change everything that has to do with liking us?
Yeah. What's your list for 2020, Brett?
Watching us suffer.
In all honesty, my number one was also doing Double Threat, I was gonna say specifically the recording it, the whole just being in these Saturdays have been absolute joy. This is actually a Friday, but you know normally Saturdays have been
We gotta write a new email to Jerry because we said weekend.
I think it's Friday though. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and it's
Brett's already in hell with this.
It'll be fine, Brett. It hasn't even fully dawned on me yet.
Here's the thing.
He's going to be so excited to hear from you. I promise you. I promise you. Jerry's going to be excited to hear from you.
Yeah.
What if you and I just sign off right now?
Yeah. We just end the show right now.
And we just leave him. Poor Brett. We're here for you,
Christmas
Brett.
It's our Christmas present to Brett. The severing of the T-Public relationship. Not even the severing. It's just weird from now on. Like, it's strained.
Has he written back yet?
No. Because, I mean, even after he finds out, there will still have been these 3 days where he didn't know, which will always be those 3 days in his mind.
Maybe I should write Jerry something. Now I feel bad.
Yeah.
Should I write him something?
That's fine.
Okay. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. What's the worst that can happen? Girl, I heard y'all getting married. Heard ya. One time I did that at karaoke and the song, The Worst That Can Happen by, what's his name again? It's something in the Brooklyn Bridge. It's,
I don't know that one.
But it's the worst that could happen. Can you play the song, Brett, please? Johnny Maestro. Johnny Maestro and the Brooklyn Bridge.
That seems like a made-up name, doesn't it? It sounds like Andy Kaufman.
I'd say that's like an Andy Kaufman character. You think his name was really Johnny Maestro?
No, I'm just saying, like, even as an act, it's just too silly. I feel it's, don't you feel like that's an Andy Kaufman bit? Call me Andy Maestro.
It's so on the nose ridiculous. But I did this song at karaoke, and a woman came up.
Wait, what happened? A woman what?
Heard y'all getting married. This is the end. Guys, someone that makes you feel so safe, so sane, and so secure. And baby, all right, you can pot it down, Brad.
Well, I'll tell you what I would do is I wouldn't jump off that Brooklyn Bridge.
A woman came up to me afterwards. This older woman came up. She's like, she's like, I know Johnny Maestro. And that's and your version of that was one of the best versions I've ever heard.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, I was so touched.
And you were like, open your email. Write the word boo in the subject header.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you like me?
Email Johnny Maestro.
You're being nice to me? Let me make you write a mean email now. That's what I do.
What does it mean?
But you know what we did, Julie? What we just did? We just did what Brett said. Oh, it means they like you. It means they like you. Brett, it means we like you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Did you write back yet?
Not yet, which is just the
troubling.
From the anticipation here is
from
really...
the T public lawyer.
Ah, it's like dating again, where you're like, should I have texted that?
Please do not contact Jerry. Consider this a formal warning. So, Brett, do you have any clips for us? Any fun things you want us to check out?
Yeah. We got some fun stuff here. This might actually be fun. We just got a really good merch submission. Maybe I could show you this to you guys on air and you could make a call on this if this is merch store worthy.
We want to hear the rest of your list too, Brett.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we want to hear Brett's list too.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, here is this is a design for for Tootsco. You remember Tootsco?
Yes. Or Tootski? Is it what was it?
It's mixing up Tootsie and Tuco. So we came up
Tootsie
with
and Tuco. Right. Yes, of course. Yes.
So okay. here is a Tootsco.
Yeah. Let's make that should be a shirt.
He's holding a bag of meth.
He's holding a bag of blue meth. All right.
Could you zoom in, please?
He did it. Who did that one?
This is let's see. This is Chris.
Chris. This is
a home run, Chris.
Disturbing. Wait, is he holding something besides a bag of meth? Is that a knife or something?
He's got his classic signature Tuco knife, and then he's got a bag of meth here.
Should it be a pizza, like one of those circular pizza knives instead? Because you saw it. No, that's too inside. It's like too much. Like Vulture's we want to retract our recommendation for this podcast.
Oh, no, you guys were number 11. Don't worry. You guys were right below the line. Sorry. One away.
I have to say, Tootsco kind of looks like Mickey Dolenz from a distance. When you look at him like that. Mm-hmm.
So look out for Tootsco, Broadway Stinkers, and other designs coming soon to the T Public store.
Yeah, right? Finally. Well, maybe it might not be T Public anymore now, after this email, but there will be some merchandiser.
Be right back.
No response at the moment.
Next week's episode starts with Brett saying, like, can I just have the floor for a second? I want to just say that TeePublic is an outstanding company and Jerry is an outstanding businessman, and I respect him as a friend and as a professional, and I would sincerely like to apologize for any thing that might have been hurtful. Maybe there should be a shirt. We should have a shirt that just says, "I'm sorry, Jerry."
You read my mind. I feel like sometimes I feel like you're talking, but I'm talking because I'm thinking it.
Oh, I know that feeling. But it should be like a, what if we put Brett's email should be a shirt? just the email to Jerry should be a shirt.
A screenshot of the Gmail,
of the Gmail. Mm-hmm. It should be its own shirt. It's just Brett's email to Jerry.
Yeah, probably.
I'm also realizing I can't claim that I accidentally sent it to the wrong person because it begins, "Don't be scared, Jerry. It's just me." I've been running through my head through all the possible explanations I can provide. Yeah, and literally none of them work. I'm just going to have to ride this one out,
There's nothing God gives you that you can't handle, Brett.
Yeah, Brett, you're too blessed to be stressed.
Mm-hmm. And stress is just dessert spelled backwards, Brett.
And pressure just moves water through pipes, Brett. And pressure makes diamonds.
And pipes something.
This is all making me feel better. You want to hear my list real quick of the great things?
Please.
Okay, all right, real quick here. I just did five. So this is a... First, number five on my list is a campfire in a tin. Campfire in a tin is like it comes in a tin and you burn it and it burns like a campfire. And it sounds like a campfire. I've been burning that out on the back porch. It's been really nice.
Do you have to do it outside? I imagine
you have to do it outside. Like it creates
my apartment. Okay.
Yeah, it creates a fair amount of campfire kind of smoke. So you got to do it outside.
You get that super up there trying to put out the campfire in a tin. He'll pour the champagne on it.
Al? My handyman, Al?
Al will pop another bottle of champagne to put out the fire.
I hung out with Al this weekend.
How is he?
He's great. He's my only friend.
You said that so excitedly.
I'm lucky to have one.
Oh, I agree.
Strange time.
Yeah.
Number four for me is the television show Lovejoy, starring Ian McShane. I don't know if you guys know this show I discovered it during quarantine.
He's from Deadwood, right?
Yes. Yeah, and this is a young Ian McShane. It was the perfect quarantine discovery for me because it's, they got tons of seasons. And he plays an antiques dealer who rides around and solves mysteries that have to do with like antiques going missing and stuff.
That sounds terrific.
Oh, it's so like dumb and fun, and they kind of like, don't take it too seriously.
Soothing?
Yeah, it was very soothing. It was like my go-to quarantine show.
I love that he was on a gentle detective show because he was like such a monster on Deadwood, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. Those are good.
He's very fun in it.
I'm looking this up right now. There's a character named Tinker Dill.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's Lady Jane Felsham.
Yeah, she's like a local aristocrat who has like an eye for because Lovejoy is sort of like he's got this huge alimony payment he can't get out from under, and he like doesn't make enough money with antiques. He's always like he's always short on cash, but he tries to do his best. And then there's this like kind of a upper class lady in the town who like they develop this sort of Sam and Diane will they won't they thing, and it's a hell of a show.
So an episode of Lovejoy is what? That there's a counter, like a cuckoo clock gets stolen or something?
Yeah, like
he has to decide how much it's worth or something?
Yeah, so there's all this stuff about like, is it authentic or not, and like there's all these, so sometimes there'll be a really rare antique that'll go missing, and then he has to kind of unpack, who stole it and to what end, and then get it back. And he's a little bit of a, he's a little bit of a cad. He breaks the rules. He bends the rules, so he's kind of a bad boy, and it's a great show. Yeah.
So he's the bad boy of the antiques.
That's right.
Community.
Mm-hmm. Of like the West Midlands antique community.
Sure.
In
oh, fabulous.
That sounds great.
Fabulous.
So check out Lovejoy.
Yeah.
I got
and then
also
one
got
day Brett wakes up and the cats have run away and they're like, we can't do it anymore. Can't do it anymore. It's like British stuff, antiques, detective, like enough, enough, enough. Also, why don't you leave the house anymore? We hate you.
Yeah. What happened to this whole you leave us alone thing? Like all cats are wondering that.
Oh my God. Cats are like having a emergency Zoom while we sleep.
Yeah. Cats are like, you being at home all the time, not on my 2020 bingo card.
And meanwhile, the dogs are like, bingo!
Yeah, dogs are like, every day is bingo. So what else is on your list, Brett?
So speaking of dogs, number three here, I have my neighbor's dog is my number three.
Oh.
And the reason for that is we have a dog, Juno, but she was always, since she's been in LA, kind of isolated. But we moved in next door to somebody who also has a dog. And so now the two dogs, Juno and Papa, that's the neighbor's dog is Papa. Juno and Papa are just best friends, hanging out all the time.
Awesome.
It's the best. It is truly Papa. The best.
It's great.
Yeah.
I love it when they call me Big Papa.
Who's the alpha, or is there not really?
Juno is definitely the alpha.
Papa, can you hear me?
Really? Papa, can you lick me? Papa, can you sniff my butt? Juno's the alpha. She bossed. Is it she?
Yeah, she. Yeah, she's much older. Papa was like a puppy when we moved in, and Juno is a senior dog. So
puppy Papa. Cute.
Tom Papa. What if it's Tom Papa with like a
he's the marriage ref?
Yeah. What if Brett doesn't realize that dog is just Tom Papa on all fours with
or
two floppy
ears
on?
Or he's reincarnated even though he's not dead.
Yeah.
He's like stuck in this dog. Stuck in a dog. And you're to blame. Tom Papa is my whole name.
Bon Jovi's
back.
What
else, Brett? Oh, sorry.
After the
bon
head
Jovi's
trauma.
Back, and he's not making any sense.
He got hit in the head with a 2x4, but he's back.
Bon Jovi got hit in the head by a 2x4, and he's
and he's back, but he's back. Well, how did it start again? That version.
I don't. Trapped in a dog or something?
Yeah, trapped in a dog. It's like Tom Papa is live, and like Bon Jovi's on stage. Hey, everybody, I think you might know this one. Trapped in a dog.
This next one's about Tom
Papa. You guys know the comedian Tom Papa? Well, this next song I wrote in 1985 about how he's...
He was stuck in this dog.
He's stuck inside it. He got reincarnated before he died. And was trapped inside this dog.
Then the whole first row gets up and leaves.
Yeah. The rest of the band is like looking at Bon Jovi. It's like Nashville when she's talking about like the...
Yeah.
And then my mother would take me for the radio contest and we'd do the songs, and I loved singing those songs. Come on, Bobby Jean, let's look at Bobby. Come on, Bon Jovi, let's get you off stage. The same guy comes out, like the manager.
I thought you were gonna say like the end, like keep singing, Bon Jovi, keep singing.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is that your list, Brett? You have one more?
Yeah. I got one more, which is of course recording Double Threat every weekend. It's the best. Truly the best.
Yes, it is. Now, Brett, would you have a clip for us? I feel like we've done a pretty fun, full show, but let's do a clip.
Yeah, I got a closing clip for you here. This is we got some holiday related submissions from listeners. Thanks for, and also a big thank you to our listeners this year, sending in stuff every week. You guys truly send in some incredible finds, and even to people who didn't get their stuff on, believe me, I enjoy every single thing you send in. So it gets watched, it gets enjoyed, and we try to get as much as possible on the show. But thank you so much for doing that. And this is a
what's the worst thing you've ever been sent? Now that's all I can think of.
Okay.
You're being so kind where you're like, I love each and every
like
one of them.
Porny or like gross or upsetting or like.
Now people have been pretty good about that. There is a Holy Grail one that I keep trying to figure out how to get on and how to do. And it was literally my favorite thing anyone has sent me all year. I've watched it I shared it with like everybody else at Forever Dog. We've all watched it like 100 times. I'm obsessed with it, but it's very, I don't know how to do it on the show, 'cause it's like purely visual. There's no way of like,
sure.
Okay.
We can't narrate
well,
it.
I need to know what it
I'll
is.
Tell you what it is. And you guys tell me if there's a way to get, so the video is okay. called Sliders of the Night. And it is this group of, it's this, these guys that perform at Knott's Berry Farm every year for Halloween. Knott's Berry Farm is like Ooh. Down the road from Disney in Orange County. And it's like a
down all the way down the road. Like,
yeah. And they do a thing called Knott's Scary Farm.
Yeah.
And Elvira has a show. And
part of the Knott's Scary Farm is these sliders. And what they do is they all come out. It's called Sliders of the Night. They all come out and in ghoulish outfits and everything. And they're all pumping up the crowd. And it's like, what is Sliders of the Night? What's going to happen? And then what they do is they have like metal knee pads on, and they just run and they slide across the pavement. And they do this for like 20 minutes. They're just like sliding.
Well, Brett, I think we need to see Sliders okay. of the Night okay. right now. The Holy Grail has now arrived. Yeah. And the fact that this is something for the entire year that you have not been able to figure out how to get on the show.
I've been sitting on
is
it.
How this gets on the show.
Yes. I'm so excited.
What a better way. There's no better way to end the year than to get the clip Brett's been trying to get on all year. Okay. So it's a little gathering, a little cleared off kind of work area. Not work area, like a little performance area, and crowds are around, and these guys are dressed as little scary clowns.
What is this silliness?
And these guys are sliding down, and sparks fly off the.
Oh my god!
That is.
They're like look. They're like clown monsters strutting and looking at them menacingly.
Yeah, they're like menacing evil clowns. One guy has "boo hoo" written across his butt. And now he's running, and he just slid, and the sparks fly off. And they're just really going for like 10
feet. Oh, that guy
feet.
In the like vest, who you wouldn't think would be part of it, is taking part of it.
Yeah, no, this is insane.
It's just getting started too. Yeah.
Can you jump?
What
forward?
Do you mean it's just getting started?
Okay, now they all just slid at the same time. Now one guy just slid. Oh my god, this is hypnotic. They're just sliding. These clowns. These evil clowns. And the sparks fly. Now four of them running at once, and they just slid 20 feet. Man. Now they're moving in they're in unison. They're rocking back and forth. They're rocking back and forth. Now you're waiting.
Yeah.
At this point, I'd be like, you guys going to slide again or what? And then they just jumped up like they heard me. And they're like, yeah, we're about to slide. Now they're sliding. Because they have it on their hands also. Their hands, sparks shoot off their hands.
Is this even for an... I don't understand why an audience has to be there. Because they would be doing this just... Anyway, this is like inviting people to watch your parking lot shenanigans.
Yeah.
You want to watch us get drunk tonight?
Yeah, we're going to do some of the sliding. You want to come slide? We're going to be in the Target parking lot.
Should we get all of the sliders of the night on the show as guests?
I would love that nothing more. There's also, I found, there's actually a Sliders documentary on Amazon Prime.
Oh my God.
Yeah, all
have you watched it?
All about the process. I watched it. Yeah, it's all about the process of becoming a slider. And like, there's a whole code of, you know, code they live by. And like, there's a whole like apprenticeship process. And like,
yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
Oh,
I think
love
we
it.
Need to go deeper into slider culture.
I'm watching that documentary tonight. All right, what is the clip that we have?
I got a good one to go out on. This is for the holidays here, and pulls on some stuff we've done this year. This was sent to us. Actually, a couple people sent this to us. Jacob, Josh, and Adam all sent this to us separately. The Crypt Keeper did a holiday album a while back. I think this was in the 90s. Crypt Keeper sings holiday songs. And this one I'm going to play for you is called The 12 Days of Cryptmas.
Oh, Jesus.
The 12 Days of Cryptmas.
Oh, no, I got it.
Say it one more time, though.
This is the 12 Days of Cryptmas.
I'm so sorry. I need to hear it one more time.
It's a 12 Days of Cryptmas.
I feel like Letterman. I feel like I'm making you repeat your Paul. And I'm like, is that Paul?
Yeah. Here we go.
No one's enjoying it except for Letterman. Okay. Yes. I'm ready.
You know, kiddies, I think this is going to be the best holiday season ever. And you know what will make it even more special? Getting the little gift I've been dreaming of. Or better yet, getting a whole bunch of them. On the first day of Christmas, my cooler gave to me a trip to the mortuary.
Could you pause it, please? Please pause it. I just have to say, at first I was like, wow, like he's pretty, like his pitch is good. And then he went down an entire octave because he chose the wrong key.
On this first day of Christmas, my ghoul love gave to me a trip to the mortuary.
Ay, ay, ay.
I think it's so confusing how he, if I were learning English, I would be so upset because I'd think, I don't know anything. I have to, and they'd be like, no, you know. And you're like, but what would maggot much better? Then you look in your phrase book and.
So the trip to the mortuary is the first.
Oh, did Jerry write back?
I forgot I was still sharing. No, he hasn't written back yet.
Oh, God damn it.
I have also resisted sending any follow-ups, so just, you know, okay. I'm playing this. Okay. You know.
You can write as many follow-ups as you want when we're
done.
Now,
what happens on the second day of Christmas?
A trip to the mortuary. On the second day of Christmas, my ghoul love gave to me two murderous shoves and a trip to the mortuary.
To what?
On the third day of Christmas.
I think it's murderous shoves. Like a shove with murderous intent.
Murderous shoves.
Shelves.
That's what I thought. I thought he got two nice wooden shelves.
Well, yeah.
That's not a bad gift.
Murderous shoves?
Well, Julie, the best part of the 12 Days of Christmas is we will have so many more chances to hear what that second day was.
We're listening to this to the end, just so you guys know.
Okay, here we go.
The bitter end.
Three lethal blows, two murderous shoves, and a trip to the mortuary. On the fourth day of Christmas, my cool love gave to me 4,000 volts, three lethal blows, two murderous shoves, and a trip to the mortuary.
All right,
do you think there was someone
on.
Directing him in the booth that's like, this one you should shout like you're being electrocuted.
4,000 volts. Three.
Murderous shoves.
I thought it was two murderous shoves. Three. Oh. I don't know. It's
just, something else about electricity.
Three lethal blows. And
lethal blows.
Yeah.
Three lethal blows. Two murderous shoves.
Yeah.
I'd like my check now, please. No.
Yeah.
How about
no? I'm not paying for that. How about you could have done a second draft
you,
on
how
that?
How about you write me an apology letter, and then we'll talk about me not stripping your car.
So, yeah, I can only, what do you think? Because it's going to be five, dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so I would say like five, like, like.
Five hammer blows, like hammer.
Well, he already said blows, so I was just thinking like rotting five. Flesh or something, like eye sockets.
But it seems like they're all aggressive. It's just going to be like five.
Like a punching face. I don't know.
Yeah, five. Let's see.
Five stabbing. Okay.
Fifth day of Christmas, my ghoul love gave to me five mortal wounds. 4,000
I did not have that on my 12 Days of Christmas bingo card.
So five, it was five mortal wounds.
Oh, I thought it was ghouls.
I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Five mortal wounds. How could you kill someone five times? Only one of them is more. Anyway. Okay.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my cool love gave to me six fiends disemboweling five mortal wounds.
Sorry. Six what disemboweling? Tom is keeled over.
I just wish that what I would get for Christmas is somebody would chop my ears off or take my headphones away from me or anything to make it so I don't have to hear.
There's how many more left?
I hate how corny he is with the performances too. And that's my compromise, us getting this guy on the show down the road, but I'm willing.
And just so you're, and everyone
five
listening, just so you know,
mortals.
Brett paid to communicate with this goddamn Crypt Keeper on Cameo. And the guy wrote back and said, no. So he paid for this guy to reject us.
I know. Yeah. He actually told me my reps have already been in touch with you. And they, in fact, had not already been in touch with me.
My reps.
Yeah, his reps.
Six imaginary reps.
Yeah. Brett basically did the equivalent of buying a plane ticket to go shop at the airport bookstore. like, boy, I really like that Hudson News over in Terminal
C. Can I go on the plane? No.
4,000 fog, 3 lethal blows, 2 murderous shoves, and a trip to the mortuary.
What's next?
Miss my Gulov gave to me 7 werewolves howling, 6 fiends disemboweling, 5 mortal wounds.
So, sorry, what's disemboweling? Also, werewolves. We're in the cornball, like,
I know, this
Hollywood monsters territory.
You're getting chopped up, and then now a werewolf shows up and just howls.
They're howling?
So tame.
Ooh,
you got 4,000 volts. 3 lethal blows, 2 murderous shoves,
and 2 a trip to the mortuary. Men.
Yeah. 8 Frankensteins. 8. On the 8th.
2
day
mummies, 1 booberry.
Booberry.
And a scary ghost with a sheet and 2 eyes poked out of it.
4,000 volts, 3 lethal blows, 2 murderous shoves, and a trip to the mortuary. On the 8th day of Crypt, Miss My Gulov gave to me 8 manglers mangling, 7 werewolves howling, 6 fiends.
Wait. Did he say mangalas?
No, he
mangling?
Said manglers mangling. He didn't say Joseph Mangala.
Okay. All I'm saying is Dr. Mangala did some really fucked up shit. And I thought he said Mangala's mangling.
I think he said mangler's mangling.
Well, all I want to know, all
don't
I want to say
get,
about that.
You get more chances to hear it again.
No,
Julie.
I know. I'm just saying, heightening wise, you don't want to go from werewolves to Mangala's mangling.
Yeah. No, he's.
That's all.
He didn't exactly pace this one out correctly.
Mm-hmm.
5 mortal wounds, 4,000 bouts. Blows, 2 murderous shoves, and a trip to the mortuary. On the 9th day of Crypt, Miss My Gulov gave to me 9 stranglers strangling, 8 manglers mangling, 7 werewolves howling, 6 fiends disemboweling, 5 mortal wounds.
You hear him taking a breath, Tom?
3 lethal blows, 2 murderous shoves, and a trip to the mortuary.
You could have sweetened him and with auto-tune on that shoves, he was flat.
Miss My Gulov gave to me 10 heads ka-plopping, 9 stranglers strangling, 8 manglers mangling, 7 werewolves howling, 6 fiends disemboweling,
this
5
sucks.
Heads ka-plopping.
Please hit pause. I'm begging
he
you.
Sounds like ka-plopping sounds like, what's his name from the Mad Magazine?
10 heads like ka-plopping, Dave Berg.
No, what was the character's name again?
Kaputnik? Robert Kaputnik. Yeah.
Robert Kaputnik.
Roger Kaputnik.
Roger Kaputnik.
10 heads ka-plopping. 9 stranglers strangling. 8 manglers mangling. 7 werewolves howling. 6.
What was the 6th, Brett?
Oh boy. I
guess 5.
That was good.
No.
Tom, you're good at that memory test, that man, woman, camera thing.
4,000 volts. 3. 3 lethal,
mortal
no, 5
wounds,
lethal,
two.
4, 5 mortal wounds, 4,000 volts, 3
lethal
three,
blows,
3 lethal blows, 2
murderous
shoves,
and a trip
to the
mortuary.
All right, on the 11th day,
3 lethal blows,
2
murderous shoves, two
murderous shoves and
the
a trip
to the mortuary. On the 11th day of Christmas, my cool love came to me. me. 11 choppers chopping, 10 heads go plopping, 9 stranglers strangling, 8 manglers mangling, 7 werewolves howling, 6 fiends disemboweling, 5 mortal wounds.
I don't like how he's making a whole thing about being tired about doing this list because we didn't ask him to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like he's making a whole thing about how hard this is for him. We never asked him to sing it.
Yeah. Look, this clip's been up for 11 years and it has 82,000 views.
Also,
I think that says
cover,
all we need to know.
Is he beckoning you?
Can we see what a negative responses after let's get to the end of it. Let's
get to the end.
And a trip to the mortuary. On the 12th day of Christmas, Michael Love gave to me 12 axemen lopping, 11 choppers chopping, 10 heads
axemen
lopping, 9 stranglers strangling, 8 manglers mangling, 7 werewolves howling, 6 fiends disemboweling, 5 mortal wounds. 4,000 fog, 3 lethal blows, 2 murderous shelves, and a trip to the mortuary. I don't deserve all this happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, that was me. That final one was me.
My reps have been in touch. That's the last thing he said. My reps have been in touch.
How much were you paying for those conversations with this guy to come on the show?
Oh God. I think I had to pay
$8.
I had to pay like $4.99 per okay. like per text bubble.
$5 per message.
Per message, yeah.
And how many were there?
I sent 2. The second one was a
mistake.
Okay,
so $10.
Yeah.
Well, right. Here's what we should do now. It's off season. He's off season now.
Kassir? Right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Do you count Christmas?
That's true. Well, then maybe we wait to February when he's truly out of his. It's definitely a buyer's market come February for Kassir to get the Crypt Keeper on the show. We should charge him to come on. So, Brayat, please mark that down for February. We're going to have Kassir on, and he's going to pay us to be
pay
on the
us.
Show.
Well, first, he'll pay us back.
Yes. He's not allowed to say word one until he hands
you
$10.
He Venmos you $10.
My people informed me about this. No, but seriously, I'm quite busy.
My reps told you no already. What's your problem? Thirsty much? That'll be $5.
$5, Brett. So, look, we got another. It's Christmas. Christmas is here. We wish you all the happiest Christmas possible.
And this will actually be our last recorded episode for the year. But next week, check Twitter and the socials because we're going to do a listener poll. And then next week, we're going to play your favorite segments from the year. So like a best of Double Threat episode next week. But this will be the last recorded episode of 2020.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Do you want to check your email one more time, Brett, or has he not written back?
Yeah, I'm checking it right now, and he has not written back.
Oh, no. Tom, do you feel bad? I feel bad.
No, I feel nothing other than...
because I'm a woman? I'm a woman, and I feel guilty for
no,
everything?
No, not at all. No, I just feel like...
because I'm a woman.
Look, no one should feel bad for this. This is the game. You step into the Double Threat arena every week. You got to be willing to send Jerry an email.
Don't step into the octagon. Don't step into the octagon unless you're ready to get thumped. Well, that's how it is on Double Threat. And I say this is 2021 is going to be a good year for Double Threat, baby.
We'll be here with you and we like you and you like us. And thank you for listening and follow us on social media and please buy merch or else Brett is going to be really mad at us.
Yes. And I'm going to say the shirt I want everyone to buy is the upcoming shirt that features literally Brett's email.
Brett's unanswered email.
Yes. Yes.
If it does go answered, we'll put that on the back.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, TeePublic has that ability. So we'll do front and back.
That should be.
All right.
Well, that's what it'll be. But thanks, everybody, for a great year on the show. And we are so thrilled that you enjoy the show. And we're just getting started.
More to come.
There's so much more to come. And we appreciate it. And thank you, Julie. And thank you, Brett.
And thank you, India. Remember?
I do.
Okay. Oh, yeah, well.
How about getting off of these antibiotics? Imagine she did. Imagine she puts the album out, biggest album ever, and then here's the follow-up, first song off of it. How about getting off of these antibiotics? People are like, what?
And then the next album is like, I really gotta get back on antibiotics. This infection has spread to the extent of sepsis.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.